The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Mr. Darling, now listen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to sound so pet ownerish there. I apologize.
No offense taken, madam. You and I are old friends. I'm listening.
I'm taking the guest on a little tour of the Chauncey Graveyard after the reading this evening. Could you run ahead and keep the ghouls away until we're finished, please?
I'd be pleased to be of service to you, madam.
Good boy. How about a guest-flavored biscuit? Ah, so nice to see you all on this full moon rising night. Yes, yes, come right in. For those of you who have arrived on horseback, thank you for keeping your horses down at the stables. We thank you for keeping our horses company, by the way. We're sure they won't pick up any unusual habits. Oh, and we've hired a few farm hands from the village to make sure things stay calm. So all good there, and just please come in and find your favorite spot in the reading room. Oh, and before you ask, Natasha has just finished setting the hospitality tray with treats befitting of tonight's somewhat cheeky reading on tombstones. I will caution you to check your selection for stray wolf hair, as the pups were trying to get to the treats earlier. I do apologize. She has set out little cookies and biscuits in the shape of caskets and tombstones, and possibly bones or skeletons, and maybe a headless lady or some such thing. I only glanced at them. But I understand that they're all highly decorated and a little moist and high in nutrition and minerals and calcium and goodliness for you. Oh, and there's tea, of course. Strong black tea. Mr. Darling, step up and steady Mr. Anderson, please. He looks as though he's about to faint.
Right behind you, Mr. Anderson. Steady on, old chap.
Why on earth are you pointing at me like that, Mr. Anderson? Yes. Yes, I know I have a spider in my hair. But yes, she's quite large. I am aware. What? She'll stay right with me. You needn't worry at all, sir. Oh, my goodness. She has no interest in you whatsoever. Oh, my stars. Now, please take a breath. You are so pale at the moment, and that's coming from me. Well, please take a seat a few feet away from me if she gives you such a fright. The window seat is open. Please go over there. The spiders in the draperies above there are much smaller. Honestly. Thank you, Mr. Darling. My star. Such drama. Now, we have just a few in-house notes to get through before we begin our fun little tour of tombstones this evening. Oh, Welcome, everyone. I am your harmless host, Miranda Merrick, and I am so very pleased that you've arrived safely to hear tonight's reading. The first note is from Goon number 7, who reports that as a group, they have been instructed to employ what is called the spinning top technique to any guest who steps out of line as they are supposed to follow Mr. Darling to and from the reading room. The guest will be lifted by the neck, spun like a top, at approximately 300 rotations per second, and set gently back down. And it may take several days for them to return to normal, if ever. Thank you, signed, Goon number 7. How courteous. So there you go. Please make note of that, and that you stay directly in line at all times behind our handsome Mr. Darling, no matter how tempting it may be to wander off. Oh, and speaking of Mr. Darling, dear guests, when you are standing in groups, entering the library, choosing your seats, or lingering as you pass by our luscious hospitality tray, and you hear him exclaim aloud in that clear Royal Signals voice of his, saying, "Pardon me, please, the magic is about to happen." That is him being extremely sarcastic, and means either one of two things is about to take place. A, that he is about to violently kill something, or B, his bowels are about to move. So, in either case, please trust me, you'll want to evacuate yourself from his path as quickly as humanly possible. Thank you very much. You know, my dears, there is often so much talk about things that are said to be set in stone, meaning they are fixed, finished, decided, or settled upon with no further want or hope of changing them. The earliest known reference or origin of the phrase set in stone is likely from the 17th century BC when Hammurabi had his famous code of law literally chiseled into stone. People, humans, have always, or for the longest time, figured out that if they carved a message into stone, it had a pretty good chance of being around for a mighty long time. And if you plan to be buried and have a tombstone, and you care to make the right plan and pay the right people and pick the right spot, well, you too can send just about any message you want into the future for anyone who might stumble by to read and consider, whether they like it or not. From recipes to poetry, you can set any message you like in stone. We do have a caveat or word of caution for you as well. If you don't choose anything, those you've left behind are free to choose anything they'd like to say about you on your stone as well. So perhaps you'd like to have the last word first. In tonight's reading, we have a bizarre collection of unusual tombstone sentiments and some short stories that go along with them. As you'll hear, people have certainly figured out that the stone marker is the perfect place to make a lasting impression. Then, if everything goes as planned and you're all in agreement, we'll take a short walk out one of our side entrances to our private graveyard. One of our private graveyards, where I'll read to you a few of the names on just a few of the stones before we say goodnight. And you'll be fine. It will all be fine. One of the first tombstones of curious note is that of a young Oklahoma woman named Catherine Cross from October 10th, 1917. For years, this solemn stone has caused talk of werewolves because of its strange inscription. But the truth is that her grieving and angry family chose this engraving in protest against the doctor and staff that operated on their daughter. The operation then resulted in the young woman's early demise. The antiquated stone, which sadly has been stolen, read, "Catherine Ross, murdered by human wolves." This single strange engraving even inspired a written novella fictionalizing, we assume, an entire family of werewolves that terrorized a Midwestern town along with a shifty doctor, all based on this simple stone. We hope this gravestone is returned to its rightful owner. As common luck directs, no good can come to anyone who would steal something away from the resting dead. No good whatsoever. Shame on you, whoever you are, that stole the marker from the grave of Catherine Cross. Now, in the very spirit of dark fun, my dear guests, I bring you the tombstone of someone you might well know the name of, Mr. Elijah Jefferson Bond, American lawyer and inventor, born in the year 1847, and why should you care? Well, my lovelies, and Stephen Strangeways fans, Elijah Bond patented the world-famous Ouija board, or spirit board, in the year 1891. And in one of the most ironic twists of spooky fate happenings, after his own death and burial in 1921, Mr. Bond, who was the inventor of a device for supposedly making it possible for the dead to speak to the living, Mr. Bond, who was somehow buried in an unmarked grave, could not be reached or located for the longest time. Apparently, there was a breakdown in communications. But when his correct grave location was discovered in 2007, paranormal enthusiasts, along with the Bond family, had the ultimate headstone created for the mythical man, featuring all of the key components of the original Ouija board engraved into the reverse side of Elijah Bond's sizable headstone. It bears the celestial symbols in the upper left and right corners, with the yes and no beneath them, the letters of the alphabet in the traditional arch shape, the ampersand symbols, numbers, and the sign-off goodbye, which is more than appropriate in this spot. As you may have guessed, it's a huge attraction in its location in Baltimore Greenmount Cemetery. Well, I've brought for you a couple of good old-fashioned curses involving tombstones to brighten your evening, too. The first is rather a modern curse for a change of pace. It is the story of Mary Delency, who was born in 1906 in Croatia. But she lived a long time and died in Wallingford, Massachusetts, where she was an avid cat owner. I do not have a note here of how many cats Mary owned, but apparently her neighbors and fellow townspeople were of the opinion that the number was too many, making Mary unpopular with her neighbors for many years in the town of Wallingford. Before Mary's death in 1985, she cleverly planned in advance and had a curse engraved upon her headstone, condemning all who had made her life miserable for loving the cats. It read, "May eternal damnation be upon those in Wallingford, who, without knowing me, have maliciously vilified me. May the curse of God be upon them and theirs." Well, it was reported after the stone was set, the neighbors were so worried of the curse, they tried to have it removed, petitioning the courts. But Mary had paid legally in full in advance for the stone, and the law was on her side. A judge ruled in favor of Mary. The cursed tombstone stands to this very day in the cemetery in Barnstable County, Massachusetts. There is no word of how the neighbors fared after Mary's death. This next cursing tomb should surprise no one here. In fact, I think we might all be well disappointed to learn the man did not direct such a fine few lines of curse for his eternal rest, given his lofty status in life. This eloquent verse of curse protects none other than Shakespeare himself, as he lieth in repose in his unique grave in the Church of the Holy Trinity, in Stratford-upon-Avon, which doesn't sound or look like somewhere you could just easily pop in and do some dastardly grave robbing anyway. In Shakespeare's day, you must bear in mind, it was commonplace for bodies to be stolen for students to study, or to be sold for the making of potions and poisons. So the gallant playwright who doled out many a vengeful death in his plays certainly had no qualms with penning a dire curse to protect his own remains in real life after his death. And this is all very fascinating because, having died so long ago in the year 1616, and having been buried in a non-traditional kind of way, beneath the floor, under these enormous slabs of massive black stonework, of the floor of the ancient abbey for so long, well, over time, the precise location, direction, and depth of Shakespeare's body was forgotten. Old legends about the bard's burial had talked of him being sunk in the ground 17 feet down to keep his bones out of the hands of would-be grave robbers. His final poisoned pen placard reads,
"Good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones."
Has his curse worked, I hear you ask? Well, as you can imagine, no one, presently, has felt nervy enough to toy with Willie's bones. Excuse me. However, the spooky truth is, some modern clever folks have gotten around the curse by peering beneath the giant hunks of stone flooring in the Holy Trinity Church by using ground-penetrating radar. And lo and behold, they were able to confirm a few interesting new facts about the old bones. 1. Shakespeare was not buried 17 feet beneath the stone floor, but only a mere 3 feet down under the large slab of stone, so he could probably feel you walking on him. 2. He didn't even have a casket, but was instead swaddled up in a bedsheet. But 3, and the most dramatic of all, that long, long ago, some brave or foolish soul defied the curse, broke into the floor tomb, and made off with Shakespeare's divine head. Oh, I am sorry to laugh. I just find this to be so befitting of one of the man's own plays. The disappointment of this is, of course, that we don't get to hear what's happened to the person who stole the head. I mean, one can only imagine what juicy happening Shakespeare would have brought down upon the person poking their fingers into the eye sockets of his own personal skull like that. Now, you know how I detest gossip about us, but there is a partial rumor that I'll happily share with you that these radar findings do seem to somewhat confirm that there is what appears to be a male body in the floor of the church with the head missing. And there is also record, true or maybe not, of a wily group of grave robbers headed by the ironically named Dr. Frank Chambers, who were said to have dug up Shakespeare's chamber in 1794. They brazenly ignored the posted curse, snapped the resting skull from the body, and let fall the lifeless skeleton back into its lonely pit. The fine doctor was said to then have sold the now empty skull that once thought so many brilliant thoughts for 300 British pounds, or 56,000 American dollars in today's money. Sold to just whom, we cannot say. Other rumors persist that bad luck did pursue those in possession of the skull, and that it may have been returned to the church and is buried somewhere else on the grounds. This, as you may have guessed, has never been proven, and the skull is still missing. I mean, really, it could be anywhere. Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by Father Philbrook's Funeral Secret Service, where your true afterlife wishes are guaranteed. Why should the fun end just because your life has? For a nominal fee, Father Philbrook can make your gravesite the supernatural spectacle it should be. Give the living something to talk about. Basic package includes: during your tombstone placement memorial service, your massive onyx in-ground stone will hiss and steam as it is lowered into the ground by 2 silent goons dressed entirely in black. Your in-ground stone will then be guaranteed to off-gas dramatically for at least 1 year, asphyxiating any and all who approach it. Upgraded package includes: your massive onyx above ground headstone will be delivered by 3 silent goons during your memorial service. It will be manhandled into place by the goons. Your stone is guaranteed to glow in the dark of night, and emit random pulses that cannot be explained, causing all who approach it to retch for 1 week. And the ultimate package includes 6 silent goons will deliver your jet black obelisk to your graveside memorial service. They will affix it into place using their bizarre apparatus. It will strike the ground with its resounding arrival, letting out a cloud of stink and fury. Once in place, your tombstone will emit a low-frequency hum that will thrum your name in your enemies' ears, no matter where they are, until they go mad. Extra fees may apply. Additional fees will definitely apply. Call today to arrange a funeral they'll never forget. Call 666-LAST-LAUGH. Put the fun back in funeral with Father Philbrook. Call 666-LASTLAF. Well, what kind of host would I be if I didn't bring you a few stories about witches? You needn't answer that. St. Omer Cemetery in Ashmore, Illinois, has a very much noted gravestone I would like to tell you about, my lovelies, because it belongs to a lady who passed away a long time ago on a day that never happened, in a town that really isn't there anymore. In fact, it's a real-life ghost town now. St. Omer is that ghost town, and Caroline Barnes is the lady. She was accused of being a witch in the small town back in 1882, which isn't all that long ago, really. To be fair, there is no record of how the townspeople supposedly killed her. But the rumor was she was either hanged or burned, the poor doll. And then they did the strangest thing. They made Miss Caroline Barnes a special tombstone and placed it oddly upon her grave over her mistreated, murdered corpse. If you ever went to find it, which you absolutely could, by the way, you couldn't mistake it for any other tombstone, for there isn't another like it to be found. You see, the supposed witch, Miss Caroline Barnes' tombstone, is shaped like a giant ball, a crystal ball to be exact, but larger than you might put your arms around. It rests high upon several stone logs, standing several feet in the air. An impressive structure to behold, indeed, in the lonely cemetery that no one ever hardly comes to visit. Her strange grave faces north, while every other grave in the cemetery faces east. Then there's the curious date engraved upon the stone. Lore about the witch claimed that she would return on the date her life was taken from her, the date of her death. So the date the townspeople engraved upon the stone is February 31st, a day which will never come, thereby keeping the witch forever in her grave. You can choose to believe this story or not, of course, as there are conflicting stories as to the history of the town that is sadly no longer there. But then again, who doesn't love a lovely old deserted ghost town? Our second fine lady of interest is that of Miss Meg Shelton from Preston, England. Also called the Wood Plumpton Witch. Unfortunately, she doesn't have a large and lovely gravestone that I can describe for you, my dear guest, because you see, apparently this lady, after she was buried, she wouldn't stay properly in her grave. And she, as they put it, kept digging her way out. let me start over. Miss Meg Shelton, also known as the Field Hag, was accused of practicing witchcraft in the town of Woodplumpton in the late 17th century in England. She was said to be robbing cows of their milk and transforming herself into various animals. A fine skill, if you ask me. She, in 1705, died on the grounds of her own home by being crushed under the weight of a large barrel. And the townspeople kindly buried her in St. Anne's churchyard. But it was said that every so often her corpse would be found above ground and out of its grave in the cemetery. And everyone just assumed she was somehow undead and digging her way out. So she was reburied head downward so that when she began digging, she would burrow her way into hell. A large boulder was then set over top of where her feet were to stop her backing out. There is a small placard beside that boulder that states, "The Witch's Grave. Beneath this stone lie the remains of Meg Shelton, alleged witch of Woodplumpton, buried 1705. Poor doll. There are two epitaphs of note I would like to share with you. One is that of 97-year-old Kay Andrews, who put her chocolate fudge recipe on her tombstone because she wanted everyone to have something sweet. And we'll have copies of it available at our reception desk that you can safely get to. And a truly well-thought-out wish from a cowboy from Utah, Russell J. Larson, whose stone reads, "Two things I love most, good horses and beautiful women. And when I die, I hope they tan this old hide of mine and make it into a lady's riding saddle so I can rest in peace between the two things I love most." Well... I hope you've enjoyed my tombstone stories, my lovelies. Now, if you think you'd like to rise and stretch your legs as a special treat, we'll walk out to our private side cemetery. It's not far. Just follow our handsome Mr. Darling, please, everyone. Thank you.
This way, everyone! Stay right behind me as we exit here.
Well, here we are, my lovelies. There's only a few graves here, you see. We try to keep the number to a minimum of about 20? I'm uncertain. Please stay close to me and my lantern, as there are many open graves because... well, we're in the process of looking for something, currently. Gosh, I really should have thought this through before I brought you out here. Anyway. Oh my gosh, Miss Meadows, don't take another step back or you'll land in the new grave dug for dear Uncle Chauncey. Oh, he's not dead. But I'm sure he wouldn't like you fumbling around in his new grave. Now look, over here is his father's grave. And that belongs to Great Uncle Chauncey. And Uncle Chauncey, of course, has a son called Little Chance. Oh, yes. All of the graves are extra large. Now, you see, it's a sacred family lineage of men who all go by the same first name of Chance, you see. And maybe you've encountered them in the village. They're all the strong, silent type. You just listen for anyone saying anything against the Midnight Library, or me, or my sisters, or my group of girlfriends, or the League of Lady Gravediggers. There's always a chance. There's a man named Chance listening. And if they hear anything, there's no chance they'll ever say another word against any of us ever again. Thank you so much for coming to hear tonight's delightful reading on tombstones, my lovelies. Now please be very careful as you find your way around the open graves on this unfamiliar side of the library in the dark. I wonder where Mr. Darling's gone to. Oh well. I'll be able to spot him from my balcony, so don't worry about me. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Digging has resumed for the Shakespeare skull, madam.
Wonderful, darling. It'll soon be in our hands.
Aren't you even a little worried about the curse, madam?
Not in the slightest, Mr. Darling. Curses have rules. Uncle Chauncey bought the skull. The curse is on the fellow who dug it up.
But now we're digging it up.
No, the goons are digging it up. I'll buy it from them.
Outstanding, madam.
The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate at patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real fun happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And our even weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.